I'm here with David Austin at the Anthony Reynolds Gallery to talk about his current show and begin by talking about a work that we're looking at now, Stars, which he painted in 2004, because it links many of the elements that have been concerns of yours for a number of years.
Well, one thing is I've actually painted about 10 paintings that have stars in them. It's a subject that goes right through my 20 years of painting. This particular star painting, the influence behind it really comes more from seeing a ceiling in an Egyptian tomb that was covered in stars. The artist who had painted it 4,000 years ago had used a method similar to a builder's chalk line, where he'd obviously dipped a piece of long string into some kind of pigment, and where the background colour around the stars had faded, you could see where he had done this sort of cross lines, and where the cross lines met, he had painted one of the stars. So it was very incredibly modern and incredibly simple and very effective. I followed exactly the same method in this. This is how it was made. This is how the positioning of the stars came about. So already that negates the whole idea of it being a natural sky. And also the stars themselves are absolutely identical in the way they're painted. Their imperfections is just how I've painted them. They take forever to paint. The background black, and I don't see it as the black of a night sky. I see it as an absence of sky, if you'd like. Similar to a lot of my other paintings that I make, the oil is pushed on with tiny brushes. I mean, the biggest brush I use is probably about an inch wide, but on the whole they're about sort of half an inch, something like that. When you get close up to the surface of these canvases, you see that one, they're painted on a very heavy flax canvas, which has a very big tooth to it, and the paint is pushed on. It's pushed on and added to in a very sort of slow sort of process. But also for me, it's the whole idea of pushing time into the canvas itself, into the picture itself, very much in the same way as someone like Selmans would, you know, make one of her sort of charcoal drawings, that kind of additive sort of process of pushing and pushing the material in. So it's very strange because, like a lot of my paintings, it's a very simple idea. And if you saw a photograph of it, you might think, oh, that's something that was painted very, very quickly. In real life, so to speak, when you see these things in real life, you realise that they are very, very slow objects and are made to be looked at in a very slow way. Because I feel that when you push time into an object, into the making of an object, its secrets and its pleasures are very slowly released in the same fashion.
Also, they're large works. I mean, this is a large canvas. We talk a little bit because you also don't always work large. I mean, you make small works as well, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I'd like to make the paintings much larger. I'd like to make them huge, the size of huge walls. These paintings are the biggest I can make physically for two reasons. One, the flax canvas only comes in a certain size, so this is the biggest I can go on a width. And also, because they're made very intricately and I have to constantly turn the canvases round on the wall to paint them, and so the width of them is governed by the actual width of my arm spread, so I can pick them up and move them. Like a lot of other artists, I quite like those given parameters of what you make. That's the size it's got to be, because that's the size the material comes in, or the size that physically you can handle. But no, I'd like them to be massive.
Moving on to another work here, Diver. I'd like to talk a little bit about the use of text in your work, because that's also been very important.
I use text through quite a lot of the works that I make, both the works on paper and the paintings. The works with text on the larger paintings, it's usually just one word. I have no real idea why I used these particular words. They drop in like pennies into a slot, and I tend to make the ones that feel like they need to be made the most. This one's called Diver. I like the word for many reasons. I like the idea of ducking and diving. I mean, I like the idea of high divers. I've always loved watching high divers. I have a huge sort of notice board in the studio that's covered in lots and lots of newspaper articles and photographs. And I have a photograph of when Greg Louganis smashed his head on the diving board in the Olympics. And then, of course, later on, Louganis, you know, admitted that he had AIDS. Then there was this whole thing of the blood in the swimming pool. I always remember seeing it on TV and then having the newspaper clipping. And something about that man who's one of the most graceful animals who's ever lived, you know, hitting his head, it was that incredible sort of violent thud with the beautiful, graceful movement. So that's not to say that's what this painting is about, but they come about because there are a whole bunch of different things that meet up at a crossroads. And at that crossroads, I find a word. The word means so many different things to me, but I don't feel that it should mean one particular thing in the painting.
There are, in your work, references as well to both, as you say, a kind of narrative that's very interesting as just described, but also to modernism, to other artists that have used text. But again, because of the way that you deal with the surface, I'm looking particularly at the ground of this painting. And again, you can see the enormous amount of texture. It's almost, it's very physical. And again, the colour being very neutral. We've got this neutral beige colour. Can we talk a little bit again about the decisions you make, the time element, and also the fact that you have in the past actually hidden words in the surface of the work. So almost you see an archaeology of the work. And I think this painting also, you see a kind of archaeology of building up of the surface.
Yeah, the surface looks painted and excavated at the same time. The words are drawn. They change dramatically, actually, at the beginning of the painting. When the painting's finished, they look quite finished. They have a finished quality to them, but actually the actual words and letters themselves have grown and shrunk. They've moved around. So I've used them in the same way I would use one of my trees or an abstract shape or anything. I mean, to me, they're physical or abstract things. So I like them for their shape, you know, as well as their... I mean, I love the shape of letters, you know.
There was something that I thought was interesting, one critic had written in a conversation with you, that you often come to your work, in a sense, from the modernism point of view, as if you had had some history of art book that's been left around on a beach, and there's that kind of, again, that time element, or the pristine nature of it is kind of being stripped away, or sun-faded, or, you know, again, that thing of the archaeology, really, of the work.
Well, they all look broken. My words often feel broken. They feel like words to do with broken relationships, broken histories. The trees that I paint are often, they're not lifeless, but they're often shed of leaves. Or, in fact, there is a painting in the exhibition called Green Tree, which has very particular leaves, but they look like they've been made out of pressed steel or pressed tin. One of my greatest interests is looking at someone like Leger because of the absolute ridiculousness and weirdness of the way he paints and draws things. For instance, Leger's flowers, funny and beautiful and have that great graphic quality and could only... They don't exist in our world. They exist in some strange Leger world that he came up with. That's how I like my shapes to be. I hope that's what I'm achieving in some of the works, is that I want them to be Austin's world. I hope that the when people look at them, they think they're funny, they think they're sexy, they think that they're well-made or well-crafted. All of those things are important, but it's also the reason I like art is because it gives you a glimpse into one individual's, one person's view of things and how they've constructed things which is why, for me, for instance, film, though I love it, though I absolutely adore film, and can never have quite the same quality because it's made by many.
Can we talk a little bit about a canvas like this, which is full, if you like, and then when you isolate a shape in a drawing or a small gouache painting or watercolour?
Yeah, in some of the small paintings or gouaches, these shapes are isolated, but they're not smaller. I don't paint these shapes smaller than they are here. These are the size that they are to me. I was doing a life drawing the other day, which is, I've just started doing some life drawings, which I've never really done since college, though I do make drawings of figures. And what I found interesting, which is so stupid because it should be so obvious, that I made three drawings. One was close to the model, one was about 10 yards away, and one was on the other side of the room. And how the drawing of the figure on my page got smaller. So it's very strange. And I've realized that the reason I make these objects, shapes in the canvases, and they are the same size, is because they're in my head. And when I'm making them, I'm right in front of the canvas or the paper or the support, so they don't get smaller. But if I was to maybe walk across the room and have a very, 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 very long stick and draw, you know, with a piece of charcoal or a pen in the end, and draw the shape on a piece of paper, say, and it was distance of a room away, I would probably draw it small because it would be further away from my head, from my mind, where these things are stored.
So if we talk about this one then, David, Blind, which we're standing in front of now.
Well, the first thing about this painting is it's black and it's white, and Blind is in big letters, and it goes Blind, and it's like bang or pow. It's quite abrupt. So again, when you walk into a room like this, it's very boom. It's very funny because it hits you between the eyes, but it's also saying Blind. So to me, that's funny. And again, when you get close up to the surface, you'll see, again, like some of the other paintings here, it's actually made in a very, very knitted, very concentrated, very dense fashion. It's very, very dense. The words are not masking taped up. They're hand-drawn. Everything's crafted. So that whole... I've painted a D in Blind in the same way that I would paint a shape or a tree branch. It's fashioned and made in the same way. The Blind actually originally came from that wonderful sign Blinds in the Curtain Road above Pete the Pleater's, which I see on the bus every day as I'm going past it. One reason words do come into my mind is because I read things wrongly. I often see signs and I think they say elephants for sale, and in fact they say something like caravan park. I also believe that if you walk around with this kind of odd, peculiar way of reading things like I do, that you sense hidden doors and hidden tunnels that go under the city of London and lead you into, like Orpheus into the underworld, they lead you into strange, hidden, disguised worlds. And so a lot of my paintings of words, to me, are often signs for doorways into somewhere else. They're like you have a big sign above the door and you open the door and then you're elsewhere. A lot of my works are about taking the visualness of the painting to its highest pitch. So when you see them, that's how the colours come around. That's how they're stretched and pushed and pushed, and the drawings pushed and pushed till they get to the absolute visual kind of painful... I wouldn't say resolved, because they're not resolved. It's not that, and it's not making something so it works in the end. But they have, for me, they only work when they have this kind of optimum sort of visual kind of overload to them. Which probably sounds strange for me, because people always say, that I'm quite subtle. But to me, they're quite different.